closed door opens to darkness. The door clicks. Ahead, there's a glint, a flame. It's the genie lamp. And the legend of the genie will be revealed today in the form of several guests that I'm very excited to have. This is Leslie Holdcroft on Through the Mind's Eye, An Evolution of Genius on Voice of Vashon Radio. It's my great pleasure to introduce my friend Jane Valencia, who will be playing the harp and telling a story. Her stories are so powerful and so transporting that it's as if we're on a magical journey. She does this over and over again. This is Jane Valencia.
So over here, we have a forest before us, but we are actually in the village. And the people of this village are hardworking folk, as you would expect. And they cultivate their crops, and they go and they do a little bit of hunting at the edge of the forest. However, they never go deep in the forest. It's been like that for a very, very long time. And they all seem very happy with their lives and with the way things go in the village. However, there's always someone who thinks a little bit differently. So, there's this boy, and he ventures down the trail now and then, and he goes as far as he can on the trail because it doesn't go very far. However, he's noticed that there are little trails going off into the bramble and into the blackberry and into the salmonberry and into the ferns, and then into plants he doesn't know the names of. He doesn't follow them. At least he doesn't for many years. Until one day he sees a deer. And this deer is like none he has ever seen before. It has a brown coat, but it also has these white spots, but it's not a fawn. The spots, in fact, resemble clouds in the sky on one of those really deep blue days. And that deer leaps into the woods off the trail. And the boy follows that deer into the woods. And he finds his way along trails he never thought he would ever see, or that ever existed. And then the deer vanishes. And he's alone in these dark, dark woods. And he doesn't know where he is. And he doesn't know how to get back out. Maybe he's feeling a little bit nervous at this point and wondering if he should have followed that deer in the first place. He decides it's worth it. It's worth it if he never finds his way back. And at that moment, though, he thinks he hears, well, it's not bird song. Singing? Who would be singing in these woods? That's what it sounds like. Do 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 do. Hmm. Well, he has to look. Of course, now all of the warnings of the villagers come to mind. All those words about never leaving a path. Don't go into the forest. And whatever you do, don't follow strange voices in the forest. Especially not ones that are saying things like, I hear the wolf and the fox and the weasel. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. Because that's what those words are. Well, he has to go look anyway. And he pushes back the bushes and he peers into a clearing. And sure enough, a party is going on. I hear the wolf and the fox and the weasel. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. And yes, people are singing. Well, are they people? Either they're wearing some funny coats, or they're not people at all. They're not people at all. I hear the wolf and the fox and the weasel. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. I hear the wolf and the fox and the weasel. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. And in 10 years I will come back. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. And in 10 years I will come back. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. And it's a wolf, and it's a fox, and it's a weasel, and they're singing, and they're dancing, and they're having a really good time. And of course they notice him. All those eyes are looking at him, and they're, they've got that cocky look on their faces. Well, are you going to join us or not? The boy feels a little bit of a squeeze of fear in his chest, but then it's opens up all of a sudden and says, well, yeah, I'm going to join you. And so he goes in, he darts back out, he goes in, he's starting to feel, and he's like, wait a minute. He's got that tug going on of, you shouldn't be in the woods and you shouldn't be dancing around with these animals. Animals that are singing, animals that are on their hind legs, that is highly unnatural. But then he thinks, maybe this is natural. And so he goes in. And he finds himself singing and dancing with the wolf and the fox and the weasel. And they share food with him. He doesn't ask what it is, but it might be roast bird or something like that. Oh, so they actually cook food. That's interesting. And they tell him stories about what it's really like in the forest. And then he finds himself getting very, very sleepy. And that party is going on, but now it's not just the wolf and the fox and the weasel out there, but there are birds there. And maybe that strange deer that had that cloud coat. And other animals. And maybe people with wings, little people. And maybe even the trees are moving around. He's not really sure. He's very tired. But he feels so comfortable here that he curls up and he falls asleep. He wakes up, and he's alone. The sun is shining on him through the leaves. He gets up. He finds he still feels very, satisfied, like he's had a really good meal, and a really good time with a lot of good people. He turns around and he finds that he can actually see the trail that he came through. It's almost, you would never be able to see it with your regular eyes, your human eyes, but there's something about him he can tell. He can see kind of a silvery shimmer where he has been. And so he follows that shimmer back through the woods, back through all those brambles and down to the edge of the forest. And he can see that village and the villagers doing their everyday things. And he takes a deep breath, hums a little song, and steps through the bushes and onto the path and just walks right into the village. And everybody rushes up to him. Where have you been? Where have you been? We were so worried. We thought somebody said, why, you went out into the forest. Somebody said they saw you following a strange animal. He doesn't say anything. He said, well, I was out there, and I learned a song. Maybe I'll teach it to you sometime. Maybe I'll teach it to you now. And so he sings it. I hear the wolf and the fox and the weasel. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. I hear the wolf and the fox and the weasel. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. And in 10 years I will come back. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. And in 10 years I will come back. I hear the wolf and the fox singing. It's kind of a catchy tune. Well, some of the older people in town, they're kind of frowning about this. But the younger kids, you can see that they're kind of like, yeah, good tune. And they're singing it to each other. And then everybody goes back to work. But over the course of the year, this child learns the song, that child learns it. The boy's mother, the boy's father, folks are singing it. They end up starting to kind of include the song in different celebrations. And the children play that they're wolves and foxes and weasels. And in time, the people include these foxes and wolves and weasels in their more serious celebrations and rituals. And eventually, 10 years pass. And they wake up one day. It's as if all of the village at one time wakes up. And they say, it's time for us to go into the forest and see what's really there. And so they pack up their baskets and full of good food, and they put on their costumes and all the things that they've made that look like wolves and foxes and weasels and all these other creatures too, birds and deer and some fantastical creatures. And they all go out into the forest, further and further and further, and deeper than they've ever been. And I'm sure you know what they discover when they get there.
We've just heard another magical story from Jane Valencia, who will be appearing at the bookstore on her birthday. She'll be reciting and playing from her book, Because of the Red Fox. The tradition of, could we call this bardic storytelling?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Could you tell us more about this tradition?
Well, I think there have been a lot of people in a lot of countries who have played an instrument and told stories with them. And the music of the instrument itself is part of the horse that takes you into the other realm. And so it might be with drum, but the harp itself has its own tradition of that. In Ireland, of course, is a pretty notable tradition where there were storytellers who play the harp and would tell the stories of the people. They would make up poems. They would create stories that reflected something that was important to their culture. So that's really where this in particular is drawing from, where I am. I guess my influences, I guess.
That's beautiful. And I love the imagery of a horse taking us into the world of the story. I feel that as a writer. I feel that as a storyteller. It literally feels like riding a horse, and it's often Pegasus. These possibilities are endless where we can go with our stories. When I hear your work, it makes me long for a time when people would converse in story.
Yeah. Words were very important once upon a time.
they really were. I brought Jane on today because she inspires me in so many ways. She does work with nature, linking nature and academics. She inspires me as a storyteller, as a mother, as a homeschooler. And I really wanted to shine light on her and really bring her out. And sure enough, everybody in the studio is so thrilled that you're here.
Oh, gosh. I'm honored.
It makes a big difference to hear stories like this. They're just so deeply relaxing. There's such a comfort that everything is always working out in the end. And I love the mingling of the animals and the boy together, and how he is opening up his culture to something new. That's always good.
Yeah, I think the children today have that real gift and opportunity to kind of wake us all up, whether we like it or not. So, I really see if kids are allowed to be outside and encouraged to be outside, and there are so many pulls to be inside and doing other things. But when they're out there, and you probably can remember from your own childhood, different places and times where you've climbed trees or hid or made forts or whatever, just magic happens, and it's needed now more than ever for us to just kind of go back in the woods and make fairy houses and sit in a tree and eat the leaves and stuff like that. So, but children in particular can remind us how to tell stories and be in stories, just have it be around us. So it's that whole mirroring thing, I think.
Absolutely. And then here you are, an adult who is opening up the doors of what you like to call the forest halls, right? And it just seems to me, regardless of someone's age, this is, it's eternal. And no matter what we say about our time period and how we want to change it, nature is bigger than us, bigger than our current time period, and it's always there for us. It's continually opening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are part of nature. We are nature.
And, yes, we are.
Don't really think about it in that way because maybe all of our senses are tuned into the natural world. And so it's just kind of getting the wiring back so that we know that to be true.
And you're a leader for that, and we're very lucky to have you on this island.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, how did you get started in this tradition?
Well, through children's books, I think. Children's literature, because when I was a child reading the stories, especially Celtic-inspired story, there are a few that I really liked that had harps in them, and the folklore interwoven in those stories, plus the harp, just really captivated me. And so, yeah, and I would say that has led me to be what I'm doing now, just was me trying to find a way to actually be in those stories and have that magic world happen, wanting magic so much to be real, that I think my whole life has been finding out that, well, amazing, it is real, and I find it in nature, and I find it in music, and I find it in myth, and in so many different areas, herbs, you know, herbalism, that, you know, it's just kind of remarkable that we ever think that it's not a magical world. So I'd say all of our passions lead us to that sort of alive place, and that's really what it is when there are things happening that seems so astounding to us that, you know, like the world talking to us and the universe talking to us in just everyday life. And it's usually in a very surprising way.
That's right. There's the sound of the birds. I mean, what do the sun's rays sound like? You know, it's just the sound. And here we are in a recording lab with a bunch of extraordinary people all listening to the voice, listening to instruments, listening to the stories that we tell. Right outside, we have the view of Mount Rainier. We have many, many birds. There's just huge families of robins that are out today. It's just a gorgeous day. And I want to encourage everybody on Vashon who meets Jane Valencia, ask her to tell you a story.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of ForestHalls.org. For more storytelling and harp by Jane Valencia, please visit ForestHalls.org. That's ForestHalls.org. Thank you for listening.